Dear congregation, it is a tremendous blessing that we may have a prayer day in a day of God-forsakenness and sin. We have desperate need, do we not, for prayer in our day of national, international strife, a time of much domestic strife in families and among the peoples of the earth, but also when so many personally are so far from God. What need we have in our day to cry for revival, to cry that God may rend the heavens and come down and visit His vine. We gather tonight not only to pray for our nation, that there may be seed for the sower and bread for the eater, but we pray also for all the spiritual blessings that we desperately need, temporal and spiritual and eternal blessing. We pray for the mercy of God, and that our God may show His gracious hand to us in the season that lies before us. Well, how are we to pray? Well, tonight I want to set before you an example of a wonderful prayer day, a wonderful prayer for a prayer day through the prayer, the short prayer of Jabez. And the words of our text you can find in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Chapter 4, 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. With God's help, we want to look with you at Jabez's prayer for prosperity. First, we will see the covenantal foundation of his prayer. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Second, we want to look at the fourfold request in his prayer. And third, the gracious answer upon his prayer. Jabez's prayer for prosperity, its covenantal foundation, its fourfold request, its gracious answer. First and Second Chronicles were originally one book. They are not a very popular book in the minds, perhaps, of many of us. And yet these books are critical books in terms of their goal. The goal of Chronicles is to show that Israel, and in Israel, the house of David in particular, have been called to establish and display on earth the kingdom of God. Israel's life was to show that Jehovah has a people on earth, a kingdom among the nations, a people that do His will and love His persons and walk in His ways. But the tragedy of Chronicles is that it displays for us again and again the national backslidings of this same people. Josiah, Hezekiah, a few others are exceptions. But through the failures of the people, we are pointed by implication in these books to Christ alone, who can redeem us from all our failures. And here and there in these books are tucked away golden nuggets that direct us to our precious Emmanuel. And certainly our text tonight is one of those precious nuggets. Tucked away in the midst of a seemingly rambling genealogy from our perspective. Though the genealogies are very important to establish historical validity and to show God's covenant faithfulness from generation to generation. To show, too, the historical accuracy of the Word of God. But here, wondrously, surprisingly, in the midst of the genealogies, we find this remarkable text and this remarkable prayer. In the midst of a long list of dying men, the God of Israel reveals Himself as a living God. And the author of Chronicles pauses under the Spirit's inspiration to provide us a brief synopsis of a praying saint in the midst of Judah in a dark and an evil day. His name is Jabez. You read of Jabez, boys and girls, nowhere else in the Scripture. You don't read of any heroic accomplishments of Jabez. We read nothing of his fighting in great battles. He apparently wasn't a leader or a king. We don't know where he lived, but he must have been quite well known. For he needs, in this book, no introduction. On the one hand, we know little about him. On the other hand, we know more than you might first think. For Scripture tells us a great deal about this man in a few words. It calls him an honorable man who was acquainted with sorrow. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, "I bear him with sorrow." So here we are told two things. First, we are told his name is Jabez, son who causes sorrow. Literally in the Hebrew, "I bear him in pains," in the plural, "in many pains." The judgment of paradise came upon Jabez's mother in childbearing. "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow and pain thou shalt bring forth children." Probably Jabez's mother had an extraordinarily difficult birth with this child. And so she named him Pain Giver, Jabez, at the time of his circumcision. Much like Rachel called her son Benoni when she was dying of sorrow. Nonetheless, though Jabez was a cause of sorrow in birth, he was a great source of gladness in life. This pain giver became a joy giver to his mother. Though cradled in dark sorrow, his life was crowned with the sunshine of God's grace. This son of sorrow became a child of God. He became a real Benoni, a Benjamin, as it were, a son of God's right hand. For our text says, he was more honorable than his brethren. And the word honorable is a fascinating word, don't you think? Certainly it applies at least three things about Jabez. First of all, that he lived a sanctified life. This is obviously a man who was born again. The root of his honorableness is a sovereign grace of God in him. God shows his good pleasure on Jabez. Jabez in himself would only have remained Jabez, a cause of sorrow, a cause of pain. But Jabez, no doubt, has learned the cause of this pain. He's learned the price of sin. And he's been made more honorable because he's fled as a poor, needy sinner to the rich and glorious Savior. He's made honorable, more honorable than his brethren, through a pathway of sanctified sorrow. But secondly, he's more honorable because he's a man it appears, of sanctified learning. Turn with me just a moment back two chapters to chapter 2, verse 55. Chapter 2, verse 55. And the families of the scribes dwelt at Jabez. It's likely, though we can't prove it definitively, that this little city or town took its name from Jabez. The Jewish tradition says that he was a famous doctor of law and that he had a number of disciples that followed him. A number of scribes that walked in his steps. So he was evidently a man of considerable learning. Sanctified learning. But thirdly, and this we know for sure, he was more honorable than his brethren because not only was he a man of sanctified experience and sanctified learning, but sanctified prayer. He was a wrestler for the welfare of Zion. He was honorable, not in himself, but he was honorable because God had made him a man of prayer. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but the people that God counts honorable are the wrestlers, the petitioners, the beggars at His throne of grace. And such people are more valuable in a church than all others. Talkers and complainers are not honorable, but petitioners are honorable. Those who live a close life with God, those who are praying for the glory of His name, for revival, for the growth of His people, for the conversion of the lost, for the consistory to receive wisdom, for the ministers to receive opening, for young people to fear the Lord, for our schools to prosper spiritually, for the teachers and the administrators, for the peace of Jerusalem, for the cause and mission all over the world, for family life, for local church ministries, for the sick listed in the bulletin, for the earth to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, these people, God says, are honorable. For those who pray for the enlargement of the spiritual coast of Zion, for those who are intercessors, for those who are wrestlers, God says, they are honorable. May I ask you and may I ask myself tonight, as we face another season, as we close another prayer day, are we among God's honorable? We fold our hands, we close our eyes, we speak some words, but do we pray in our prayers? Do we pray like Jabez? Do we call upon the name of the God of Israel and wrestle with a faithful covenant-keeping God? You see, the fascinating thing about Jabez is, first of all, the foundation, the starting point, the root of his prayer, his point of departure. He prayed unto the God of Israel. He called on the covenant-keeping God, the God who delivered Israel from Egypt, from the house of bondage, who preserved Israel from the wrath of Pharaoh, who led Israel through the Red Sea, who drowned the hosts of Pharaoh, who defeated the Amalekites, who revealed His covenantal grace to Israel, saying, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth. The I am of the burning bush is the God to whom Jabez comes and calls upon His name, and as it were He takes off His shoes in His presence. For the place whereon we stand when we wrestle with God is holy ground. And He draws near to this God, the I was that I was, the I am that I am, the I shall be what I shall be, the unchangeable, faithful God in the face of Jesus Christ. And with this God He pleads. This God who will never forsake the work of His own hands, He calls on the God of Israel, the God of His fathers. That's the way to pray on prayer day. To pray out of the covenant relationship in which we live to God Almighty. We sing of it so often, do we not, congregation? Jehovah's truth shall stand forever. His covenant bonds He will not sever. Well, that's the way to come to Him. Saying, Jehovah, Thou who wilt not sever Thy covenant bonds, hear my cry. That's how to approach. That's the foundation for our every petition. That's how you may come to God, children. You may come with your baptized forehead. You may come with that fact that God has placed His triune name side by side with your name. Your mom and your dad heard your name and God's name in one breath and received the declaration of the Most High that God was willing to be their God and the God of their seed, your God, children. And you may turn, as Reverend Fanya used to say, turn your baptized forehead to God. Face Him as a covenant child. Cry for covenant blessings. Call on the God of Israel for your conversion, for your sanctification, for your faith, for your repentance, for your blessing, for your prosperity, physical, spiritual, eternal. You see what Jabez does. As he comes in prayer, he comes with a conscious sense of whom he is approaching. And dear friends, it is so important that when we begin to pray, we contemplate for a moment on whom we are approaching. A faithful, covenant-keeping God. A God of holy and majestic attributes. A God of glory. But a God in the face of Jesus Christ, willing to be our God. We never should be ashamed of this foundation. And we never need to be discouraged when we come with our sins and our needs and our petitions and our inabilities and our confessions and our shortcomings and our depravity. When we come on this foundation, Jabez doesn't call on his own name. Jabez doesn't call on his own honorability, if you will. But Jabez comes and he calls upon the honorable God of Israel. He called on a covenant-keeping God. And that is so reassuring, that is so encouraging, you see, because God's covenant is faithful, it is irrevocable in the blood, in the sacrifice, in the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ that we commemorate in these weeks. For Christ's sake, this covenant is unalterable. And so when we call on the God of Israel, when we call on the God of covenant, we are calling upon the burning bush that is never consumed because Jesus Christ was consumed so that His church may never be consumed. The God who will not fail His church. The God who cannot relinquish His Zion. We approach this God with our soiled souls, with our wasted lives, with our pride and our ugly sinfulness, we come to the covenant-keeping God. We call upon His name. Too often when we pray, friends, we come with a consciousness of who we are and we get discouraged. But we're coming with the wrong name. Jabez tells us how to come. We are to come with the name of our God. And then Jabez has four requests, doesn't he, in his prayer. The first is, O that Thou wouldst bless me Indeed. Jabez begins with this dire need for divine benediction. He doesn't just pray for the external blessings of the covenant of Noah, but he prays for the spiritual blessings of the covenant of grace established with Jesus Christ. He prays out of the sense of the Abrahamic covenant of eternal blessing. That's why I read Genesis 17. All that thou wouldst bless me in him, the God of Abraham, the Savior of Abraham, who promised Abraham, I will both bless thee and thou shalt be a blessing. Jabez relies on that same covenantal promise that God gave to Abraham. And he says, all that thou wouldst fulfill that for me indeed, in truth. Make it real, Lord. In Hebrew, here it is translated indeed, but in Hebrew it is literally blessing, bless me. In blessing, truly bless me. It's a reflection of Genesis 17 and also Genesis 22 verse 17. In blessing, God said to Abraham, I will bless thee. You see, we can wish ourselves a blessing. And we can wish one another a blessing. But out of this covenantal foundation, Jabez begins his prayer and he appeals to the living God who can give and who promises to give the blessing of his faithful covenant. Those whom he blesses are blessed indeed. Bless me indeed, he says. Bless me with spiritual peace and plenty and prosperity and revival and refreshment and enlargement and sanctification. Bless me not just with the gifts of salvation, but bless me with thyself. Translated this way, if thou wouldst bless me indeed. It's a vow as well as a prayer. Being written in the imperfect tense. If thou wouldst bless me indeed. It's as if he says, then thou shalt be my God. It's as if he gives God a blank piece of paper. And he says, Lord, write on it what doth please thee. Lord, if thou wilt bless me and keep me, do what thou wilt with me. I will be at thy command. I will be at thy disposal forever. But just please bless me indeed. I want thy blessing. No matter what it costs me, no matter what afflictions it means, I want thy blessing. Friends, is that what you can say tonight as we face this season? Do you want divine benediction more than anything else in your life? Divine Christological benediction. I want to be in Christ. I want to be blessed in Christ. I want to commune with Christ. Bless me. Indeed. And then secondly, he says, and enlarge my coasts. Jabez asks first for spiritual things, but now he asks also for material things. Today, there's a well-known book on the market, sold 7.5 million copies, called The Prayer of Jabez. Perhaps you've heard of it. Perhaps even a few of you have read it. It's a book that has many good things in it, but many bad things as well. It's taken the Christian evangelical world by storm. The problem with a book is that it augments too much the physical end, the material end of Jabez's request. The implication from the book that is, if you pray rightly, God will answer all your prayers, enlarge your possessions. And if you don't do that, God is somehow powerless to grant you these things. And so the book is advertised as a book that will help you pray so that you will be able, as you heard this morning, to be more a part of that health and wealth gospel. And the guilt is then put on the petitioner when God does not bless him with outward prosperity by implication. This book is a bestseller on many lists. Christian lists. Even secular lists. Other books are now being written as spin-offs from this book. The Prayer of Jabez for Women. The Prayer of Jabez for Teens Devotional. The Prayer of Jabez for Little Ones. Or even mugs that are being, travel mugs that are available with the words written around them. The Prayer of Jabez. But sadly, the author misunderstands the very essence of the prayer. He says on the back blurb of the book, "Are you ready to reach for the extraordinary, to ask for abundant blessings that God longs to give you?" Join the author to discover how the remarkable prayer of a little-known Bible hero can release to you God's favor and power and protection. And you'll see how one daily prayer can help you leave the past behind and break through to the life you were meant to live. Now, there's grains of truth in that. But the problem, you see, is that God never promises to all His people in a blanket statement that if you pray for an enlargement of material things, that I'm going to enlarge your material coasts. You see, Jabez prays for material enlargement. He prays for his coast to be enlarged, but the author fails to see the context in which this is written in Jabez's life. You see, Jabez lived soon after Israel took possession of Canaan. One commentator says this: he seems to have been constrained to fight against the Canaanites, but he conducted the war with faith and with prayer. And so when he says, "Enlarge my coast," he's thinking, yes, of physical things. That Israel's possession of the land of Canaan would be enlarged, which is symbolic of temporal blessings. But he's also putting that in the context that this was God's promise for His covenant people, and that was a type, was it not, of the heavenly Canaan to come. This was not a selfish prayer. This was a prayer that God would get His own honor. And Jabez realized that he didn't deserve this, that Israel didn't deserve this, just as we don't deserve it today. With all our Sabbath desecration and immorality and humanism and materialism, a murdering of the unborn, a separation of religion and state rather than denomination and state, we have forfeited everything, congregation. We don't deserve God to bless America, not even outwardly. And yet we too may pray for that. We don't put that at the center of our prayers. But we may pray for that. We must pray for the farmers of this land. We must pray for our daily work. We must pray for strength and wisdom and provision. But we must always do that, seeing our temporal needs overshadowed by our greater spiritual needs. And the two are side by side. We do not believe in a gospel that puts the primary focus upon the temporal expansion of this earth's goods. In Christ's model prayer, the petition for daily bread is placed side by side with a petition for forgiveness of sin. So for God's people, all blessings, all enlargements, also temporal enlargements, flow to them from the right hand of God's favorable mercy, from the essence of the covenant of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is true also of the temporal for God's people. In blessing, I will bless thee. And that is what is important. That is what is critical. As a spiritual seed of Abraham, Jabez now pleads for the covenant-keeping God of Israel to bestow upon him such blessing. So yes, this blessing deals with physical things. But it deals with more than that. As set in the spiritual context. The coast, which is Jabez prays to be enlarged, is a boundary line. It defines limits. And also in spiritual life, you see, God's people need constant growth. They need the widening of their spiritual horizons. They need advance in the life of grace. And so we may understand also here by implication that he is praying also for the enlargement of spiritual coasts. Canaan being a type of the spiritual, the heavenly Canaan. We may pray this season, we must pray this season, grant us more faith, more repentance, more love, more of thy graces. Enlarge our spiritual coasts of heavenly experience. Enlarge our coasts of communion with thee. Lead us deeper into the fullness of thy Son. Help us to glean more from his offices and states and natures and benefits and person. Jabez is using here scriptural language. This is not just a crass petition for temporal things. He's using the language of Scripture. I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. And again in Deuteronomy 19, verse 8, the Lord God shall enlarge thy coasts as he has sworn unto thy fathers. See, God promised to enlarge his people's coasts as a covenant-keeping God. Physically, literally. But embedded in that promise was ultimately the promise of the heavenly Canaan. For they were strangers and pilgrims, Hebrews 11, in the earthly Canaan. And so the spiritual meaning here comes in the foreground too, doesn't it? Israel was commanded to enter into holy war with the Canaanites. She was commanded to enlarge her coasts with divine intervention. She was commanded to destroy the Canaanites. They were symbols of this wicked world, of the anti-God spirit. And the Lord promises to enlarge her coasts as Israel goes out in obedience to destroy the Canaanites. And so Jabez is obviously aware that there are many Canaanites still dwelling in the land. And no doubt he's a man of spiritual perception. He's a man that knows that that is also his own fault and his own guilt. That Israel has not had the zeal to go out in obedience unto God. Now that doesn't mean today that if you go out and you obey God that you're going to become a millionaire. But it does mean that you may pray for God for sufficient provisions in the year to come, and you may trust Him, and you must go forward in obedience, doing His work and doing His will, and He will supply your every need. Well, you know, child of God, this struggle, don't you? Internally, the spiritual struggle, that your coasts will be enlarged, that the internal Canaanites may be cast out. Oh, you are vexed, are you not? Because of all those indwelling Canaanites. And you learn to cry out. Even as your very idols that you despise still cling to you, as it were, and burden you, and the world still vexes you. And sin is yet detested by you. Enlarge my coasts. Vanquish that territory in my heart and in my life, O God, that is not honorable to thee. Win the day, Jehovah, in me and with me and through me. Slay the Canaanites and help me to slay them. Help me to put sin to death. That must be our cry this prayer day. Enlarge our coasts. Help me, Lord, to be more holy and more pure. And also our people, our church, our state, our nation, our world. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slaying of the daughter of my people. But then thirdly, Jabez prays that thine hand might be with me. It's a beautiful expression, isn't it? You see, real prayer demands repentance and reformation. And reformation in turn involves warfare. Warfare against sin, to the glory of God. And Jabez knows he's called to go out to do war against the Canaanites. He's called to go out and take the sword in hand. But he feels his weakness for battle. And he prays, as it were, with David here, teach my fingers to fight and my hands to war. Let thy hand be with thee, be with me. You remember, perhaps some time ago when we preached on Romans 8:26, boys and girls, and we talked about how the Holy Spirit groans within us, groanings that are unutterable. And we gave that example of a little boy who was being taught to steer a ship by his dad. And his dad put the boy's hands on the steering wheel, and then the dad came around behind the boy and put his hands upon the boy's hands. And he steered, showing the boy how to steer. The boy was steering, but the dad was really steering. And so in true prayer, you see, we cry and we utter. We are truly praying, but the Holy Spirit is guiding it, teaching us, leading us. His hand is upon our hand. And that's what Jabez prays for here. He prays that as he goes out to do battle, he prays in a physical way, but it has a spiritual meaning as well, again, doesn't it? That God might go with him, that God's hand may be upon his hand, and that hand of God may be for him a humbling hand, and an empowering hand, and an upholding hand, and a directing hand, and a controlling hand in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, through Christ, through His scar-pierced hands, those hands of blessing, those hands that never did any ill, those hands of suffering, God has earned the right to put His hands upon His people and to guide them and to empower them. And He encourages them to cry for that empowerment, that Spirit empowerment, to cry out, "Oh, that thy hand might be with me." And then finally, Jabez prays that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now, there are two important words here, aren't there? First is the word evil, and then the word grieve. The word evil in Hebrew is ra. And it means affliction, adversity, distress, grief, wretchedness. Oh, that thou wouldst keep me from the evil. Literally in Hebrew, to work with the evil. It means, help me, Lord, to handle affliction, to handle trouble and wretchedness in the season that lies before me, so that I do not be overcome or overwhelmed, but that I may profit from affliction and bow under affliction. Oh, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me, that it may not overwhelm me, that I may not rebel against it, but that I may bow under it. You know what is real evil for a child of God? Real evil is when the Lord allows us to go our own way and we doubt His leadings. But you see, Jabez had learned to distrust himself and to trust the Lord. And so he says, "Lord, I can't keep myself from being overwhelmed through affliction, but oh, that thou wouldst keep me, that thou wouldst keep me submissive." I don't know what the future will bring. You don't know what the future will bring this year, do we? In America, in our congregation, in our personal lives. The Lord can bring us into war of a more serious nature yet. Very possible. He could deprive us of a harvest. He could multiply terrorism. There could be soaring inflation, economic collapse. Death can enter our homes this year. The truth could be taken from us. Freedom of worship could be denied. Worst of all, the Lord could leave us over to ourselves. Submission is a despised word today, but it is precious to God's people. They want to bow under God. In true submission, they learn to lose their lives, lose themselves, as it were, in the glorious triune covenant of Jehovah, and end in the comfort of belonging to Him alone, finding their identity in Him, and in glorifying Him. Now we know this was Jabez's desire because he says that this may not grieve me. The word grieve in Hebrew that's used here has the same root meaning as the word sorrow in the verse before, verse 9. Therefore, the Dutch translate it as smarten or smarta. Smarten in verse 9 and smarta in verse 10. That's pain. Jabez was a child of pain, a child of sorrow. And so what is he doing? You don't see that interplay here in the English, unfortunately. But he's bringing his own name before the Lord. He's saying, Lord, let me not have that grief which my name implies, which my sin deserves. Lift me above myself, above my sorrow and pain of sin unto Thee. He prays, as it were, to the covenant-keeping God with a poet, from sin and sorrow set me free, free to live to Thy glory. I am, O Lord, Thy handmaid's son, whose shackles Thou hast broken. Redeemed by grace, I'll render unto Thee as a token my constant praise. That's the true prayer day. When our hearts are enlarged in submission, and we surrender all unconditionally to the will of God. Now, the beautiful thing about our text is that as Jabez prays his fourfold request, as he is praying, God is already at work answering him with spiritual enlargement. For our text concludes, and God granted him that which he requested. We'll see that in our third thought. God granted him that which he requested. We don't know the details. We don't need to know the details. God answered his request. That means, number one, God blessed Jabez indeed. Not only outwardly, but also inwardly. He was blessed with God, by God, in God, through God, unto God. His coasts were enlarged. Temporally. Spiritually. He experienced that God's hand was with him. He received strength to put the enemies to rout. And he was granted true submission, so that affliction did not grieve him. He could say, affliction is for my profit. He wasn't overwhelmed. His life, by grace, contradicted his name. The pain was turned to joy. His prayer was answered in Jesus. He could sing with David, our hope is on Jehovah stayed. In Him our hearts are joyful made. Our help and shield is He. Our trust is in His holy name. Thy mercy, Lord, in faith we claim, as we have hoped in Thee. Notice what our text says. The Lord granted him that which he requested. A grant, congregation, is a gift. Jabez didn't bring it to himself. It was the gift of God. It was gracious. How could God give it to him? Wasn't he a sinner like you and me? Well, of course he was. But he could receive it. It was given to him because God did not grant the request of his son years later in the garden when he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And because our Savior drank the cup of pain, the cup of Jabez, the cup of sorrow, to its bitter dregs, Jabez does not have to drink it. Because our Savior was forsaken, none of His children, none of His Jabezes will be forsaken of God, for Christ's sake. So death stings itself to death when it stung the Lord Jesus Christ. And the result is, said Martin Luther, that one drop of Christ's blood is worth more than heaven and earth. And so Jabez learns something both painful and wonderful. The painful thing is that he can do nothing to fulfill his own petition. It has to be a grant, a gift. But the wonderful thing is that he need do nothing. For the Lord and his dear Son delights to do everything for sinful people. That's our hope this prayer day. That God so loves sinners such as we, repent and believe in his Son, that he is willing to frown upon his own Son as our surety, so that he can smile upon us. That's our plea. And that's why we have courage to pray, enlarge our coasts. Dear child of God, keep courage this season. Your God will not desert you. Wait on him. He's a covenant-keeping God. He punishes sin from 3 to 4 generations. But his mercy is to thousands of generations, as the original Hebrew implies in the Ten Commandments. Not just thousands of those who love him, but thousands of generations. It's his normal way to work from generation to generation. He is a covenant-keeping God. And so in this season, when you see your children do disappointing things, parents, and when you worry and you fear, turn those fears into Jabez's prayers and cry to the Almighty to be a covenant-keeping God, to enlarge the spiritual coast of your home, the spiritual coast of your heart, to bless your children indeed, to bless you indeed, and pray for submission to this covenant-keeping God. Oh, pray much to this God. He's worthy to be prayed to. Pray that you may remain a child of sorrow, a Jabez from your own side, but a child of great joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. For all is in him. May God bless you. May he bless your families. May he bless every one of us indeed in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we know sweet communion with him and sweet submission before him and a sweet outgoing of our hearts to him in this season. Oh, congregation, do not try to go through this season without the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever happens to you, do remember that anything that happens to you is less than a drop in a bucket compared to what he went through, that sinners may be set free in his blood. Last Sunday, I had the privilege of preaching to a congregation about the theme of affliction. And there was one man, I mentioned this thought, that no matter what happens to you, even if you get cancer, incurable cancer, it's small compared to what Christ has undergone. And when you're tempted to feel sorry for yourself, think about what he went through. In your pain, bring your pain to his pain. A middle-aged man came to me afterward, and he said, "I wasn't going to come to church this morning. I was so overwhelmed with pain inside because I found out this past week I have incurable cancer. Nothing more can be done." But he said, "That one sentence you said to me this morning, that God said to me, I will take home with me. And pray for me that may be my strength." And friends, that must be our prayer, every one of our prayer, in every one of our pains, our small pains, our bigger pains, that our strength may be in a suffering Savior who is now exalted and who intercedes for his people. Bring this fourfold petition to Jesus Christ. He will never let you down. Don't settle for the temporal only. Don't settle for the kind of emphasis that the book, the popular book, presents, the prayer of Jabez. But settle only for what the real prayer of Jabez says. Do not rest until your will is surrendered unto your Savior's. And then say, thy mercy, Lord. In faith we claim, as we have hoped in thee. Then you'll have a blessed prayer day not only, but a blessed year, a blessed season, and you will be blessed indeed. Amen.